Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the June 28 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Greg Ginder of FC Stone out of Chicago, Illinois, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson from Hollister, Missouri, Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Let's begin by dealing with some of the numbers that USDA released today. We'll start with the acreage figures. In the June acreage report, USDA now says farmers have planted 91.7 million acres of corn. That's down about 1.09 million or 1.1 million acres from the prospective plantings report, but up from the June WASD numbers. The soybean figure at 80.040 is down 4.577 million acres from the expectations back in March. Chuck Shelby, what'd you make of this report when it was released?
Well, the initial reaction was corn was up 15 because of the stocks report, but then when the acres number came out, the market took an opposite direction. So at this point in time, a lot of skepticism of those numbers, but it is what it is. They are going to resurvey, Todd. We'll see what it is a month or so from now.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about that stocks report, too, because that was quite the, if you were watching at that point, the market did jump, and then it said, hey, wait a second. So what did the stocks report show?
Well, I felt that was a positive because a lot in the trade had thought we weren't using as much corn as we had. But maybe that comes back to we've got a record hog herd again and, you know, look at a lot of corn going into cattle. So I thought that was a positive. Maybe something going forward that, you know, at these prices, we're still going to use a lot of corn.
Jackie Vakes, when you take a look at the total numbers for corn and soybeans, do they make tell a different story together than they do apart? And what did you make of the figures as they were released?
Well, when you look at the numbers, you know, we're not reflecting all the numbers we normally or all the acres we would normally plant. So I was shocked at the 91.7, to be honest. And I think you said planted, but planting intentions is what this really was, because they surveyed until, what, the 17th of June, Todd? That was right. You know, and so when you look at that, we've heard plenty of guys who switched from beans to corn. So I had expected to see the bean number go down, but I did not really expect the corn number to be what it is. And so, like Chuck said, they're going to resurvey, and on the August report is when we'll find out more. We'll at least have a little better handle on what's going on.
Matt Bennett, you've been traveling the last 24 hours. I know you went to Knox County, which is north of Peoria, and then I assume you made your way through western Illinois and across the top of Missouri. And are headed back, I think, at this point from Kansas City. What did you see?
Saw a lot of, you know, corn that wasn't very big, soybeans as well, a lot of variability. Some of the corn in northern Missouri didn't look too bad by any stretch. I mean, I would say it looked better than what I thought it was going to look. But then I would get into some areas, obviously, where there was a significant amount of flooding. And by all means, this crop is just way behind anything we've seen in several years, especially whenever you get out of Iowa and Nebraska. But, you know, when you get in my part of the world and you get east, you know, that's where you see just significant issues. And so I was a little surprised with the 91.7, just like, you know, just like Jackie and Chuck. To me, I figured that there would be acreage come off of that for prevent plant. But as we're talking about this before we came on the air, not everyone totally agrees with that, you know, as far as from the USDA is concerned. So it'd be very interesting to me to see what the resurvey says. But I think moving forward, the crop, agronomically speaking, has got a lot of significant challenges ahead that we can talk about on here. But, you know, I think that 166 that they posted in June, that would be best case scenario and then some.
Okay, so we have mentioned resurvey a couple of times. USDA is planning to resurvey, and they'll do this in the month of July, 14 states, all of the Corn Belt states, and then they'll do corn and soybeans in all of those. And it's not a complete survey, but a smaller survey of objective numbers, I think, mostly because they'll be talking directly to producers and seeing some acreage. They'll also pick up in Kansas sorghum and in Arkansas another crop. Cotton probably. Yeah, it's cotton in Arkansas. So that's where the resurvey will come. I want to stay with you for just a second, Matt, because I was thinking that if you drove through western Illinois and through the top of Missouri, that you would see some of the worst of the worst. It does not sound like that was the case.
Well, in western Illinois, definitely there was some extreme variability. And I saw corn that looked to me like, quite frankly, I don't know if it'll make 150 bushel, and it's been making 250 the last few years. But there was a stretch in northern Missouri that wasn't too awfully bad. And then I went across on 36. The thing that scares me, I guess, the most is that I don't know that I saw one cornfield that I would say is knee high. And so most of it's shoe top high. I mean, it's just not very big. And so, you know, there was a field here and there that I could tell was planted early. And then they tried to leave some of it, go in and replant. But I'm telling you, it's definitely, definitely significantly behind what you would typically see at this time of year normally.
Greg Ginder, your reaction there at FC Stone, and maybe you can also, well, when you're done with the reaction, tell me about your trips from St. Louis to Chicago, because I think you've been making those pretty regularly.
Sure. Yeah, it's like everybody else, I guess it was a surprise today as far as the acres go. I guess I'll have to reserve judgment on what we are actually going to reduce acres at until another report or two. But as far as the acreage and the planted acres and things like that on the way, what I saw was a lot of, I think everything is pretty much planted across the Illinois, at least up Interstate 55 all the way to Chicago. Now the emergence is a little bit slow, and I'm hoping that this week of warmer temperatures will get this stuff going, and it'll look a little bit better. But for right now, it's just kind of a waiting game to see how it comes out of the ground and how it looks.
Chuck, have you traveled very much?
Not really, Todd. I've just been trying to get this crop planted. But in Indiana, the areas I have been around, I mean, it's a lot of significant, you know, prevent plant, I believe, in certain areas. Some of the crop looks okay, but I guess I describe it the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's just Indiana is pretty much a big mess.
Yeah, so maybe more prevent plant there. Northwestern Ohio, I've heard, simply hasn't been planted. But what do you make of these acreage figures? You talked about that up front, but gosh, will it be acreage or will it be yield that makes the difference in the marketplace for the year?
Well, at the end of the day, I think Matt hit on a great point there. I mean, and I think in the interview you did, Todd, they did make mention of the lateness of the crop goes into the impact of good to excellent. For this crop to make it what is planted so late, are we going to get enough growing degree units? Also, a lot of this crop was planted into very wet conditions, the compaction side of it, the roots, the, you know, loss of nitrogen. There's a lot of things that go into growing a good corn crop that are just not there, and it's going to be a real stress to see this crop make it. So ultimately, yield is your factor. USDA kind of jumped out there, and I think they're on the right track. But in the end of the day, what kind of yield potential is there for a very late planted crop when only half the crop's in good to excellent conditions?
By that, you mean their USDA WASDE report earlier in the month where they dropped the yield for corn to 166 bushel to the acre. Jackie Vakes, how did things change for your clientele today? Did they call and were they worried more about old crop or new crop prices?
Well, we've been on them about new crop and old crop both. You know, we tried to position ourselves for something like this because when you looked at, you went back and you looked at 93, as bad as the flood was there, we only lost 3% of the March acreage. And so that said, you know, we could still have 90 million acres if they reproduce that. Now, today we came in at 91.7. You know, I think that what Chuck was talking about with yield being the key is the truth, but the key comes down to whether we get early frost. I mean, if we get an early frost, we have light test weight corn, we're not going to have a yield anywhere near 166. So this is going to have to be a year where we push out this crop into all the way through September in order to finish it out. But I wonder what's going to happen with the heat degrees that we're getting right now. I've had some guys tell me that their expectation is that corn will put at least a foot on this next week with the temperatures the way that they are. Now, you know, Chuck, you could probably address that. You think that's possible?
No, I don't, because what happened when this crop got planted in these conditions that aren't good, the first thing it has to do, it's coming out of stress. So it's got to get going. It's helpful. But again, the root system's been damaged by the conditions a lot of it was planted in. So its first stage is just to try to catch up and get going. The other thing about the weather is most weather forecasters are saying this is a brief warm-up. We're going to go back to cooler conditions, or cooler than normal, and wetter conditions. So as we go forward, I think that's where the concern is for July and August weather. I think even the National Weather Service is saying we're going to be cooler than normal. So you put all that together, it just says this crop needs a lot to even reach 166. And I agree with you, Jackie. I think it's probably going to end up closer to 150 at this point.
I have a question for the two farmers, Matt and Chuck. Weed competition for both corn and soybeans, how much of a problem this year?
Well, you know, we've definitely had a lot of weedy fields. I mean, I don't know how many producers I talked to that, they didn't have the seed bed they normally do. And I say that laughing because we were in the same boat. I mean, you got to laugh with the kind of spring that we had. I mean, if you don't, you're going to drive yourself crazy. But there's definitely been a significant weed competition, especially on soybeans. I think with corn, most guys were able to get a little bit better as far as tillage was concerned and whatnot. But bottom line, there's a lot to deal with. I totally agree with Chuck. Part of the problem that you see, and yes, we could grow with the heat, but you've got significant compaction issues. Roots, definitely an issue, as Chuck said. And the other thing is that if you could get the heat to hold, which a lot of people would like to see for growing degree units, you cannot have this kind of heat without a rain about once a week, or this crop's going to deteriorate so fast you'll never know what hit it.
Chuck, and the reason I asked that, Chuck, was simply because light interception is the name of the game, so it's collection. And the weed scientist will often say, look, we learned how to control them, but this is the number one part of getting a good yield, is making sure that there's weed control, especially in the soybeans, because they're just not that tall a crop.
Yeah, I think the soybeans are probably a bigger problem for weed control. So many guys, just when they could plant, they could. And then if they put something down early because of the length of the wetness and lateness of getting it planted, the weed control kind of failed. And I know a lot of guys have planted into really ugly conditions for soybeans. And another problem we have in our area, we had a lot of down corn last fall, Todd, and one of our biggest weed problems over here is the amount of volunteer corn that's coming up in our soybeans. So weeds are a challenge. I'd say it's probably a greater challenge for the soybeans than the corn at this point in time.
What's your assessment, Greg Ginder, of this marketplace after the USDA reports today, going forward for, say, the next week or so?
Well, after we saw the limit down move and we came off of it, there's still some optimism, I guess you could say, or at least some naysayers out there that believe that this report was a little bit presumptuous. But we'll just have to, you know, we're going to have to hash this thing out over the next week. And, of course, we got a holiday in the middle of next week, so you get some kind of low volume trades, so we could see some real volatility going in. Just a quick note on the cash side of things. I've been seeing cash values fall quite a bit here, and I think one of the main reasons that is because the St. Louis Harbor and everything that was jammed up because of the high water issues on the river has now been released. So we're starting to see the basis leak a little bit. I mean, as far as old crop goes, for those who haven't had a chance to sell any, it might be an opportunity on any type of rally that we might get out of this market. But basis appears to be a little bit weak for the next few weeks.
Jackie Vakes, I'd like you to come back to the grain stocks figures. Go through those numbers for me if you can, then give me an assessment of each of them.
Well, I was really pleased with the corn stocks coming in at 5.2 billion versus the average guess of 5.3. I mean, what it just basically states to me, the most important report that came out today was the grain stocks report, because it shows that we're still using corn. When you look at beans, we came in at 1.79 billion compared to an average guess of 1.85. That, too, spoke volumes in terms of the ability for us to continue to be moving product. And that's really what we needed. If we'd have come in here with much higher numbers than what the average guesses were, we'd probably be limit down on Monday again on some of these products. When it comes to wheat, we were just pretty much right on with what the guesses were, just a little bit less. And so I think in general, it's what brought us back off of limit. Is now can we get back up? I mean, I looked at December corn today. You know, it tested the 40 and it closed on the 38% retracement from the low of May 13th to the high of June 17th. I thought that was significant. I mean, you know, just to be able to have that 40-day low, 40-day average hold, and the November beans tested the 10, the 20, and the 100-day, but they tried to go higher, but they couldn't make it through the 200-day. And close above it. And so, you know, it's going to be an interesting thing. I think what was going on a lot today was a lot of spread unwinding. They had been buying a lot of corn, selling a lot of beans. I think we saw that come into the marketplace. But in general, Todd, I think the grain stocks couldn't have been better than what we had. It was just a really good thing. And, you know, we were talking about what might happen in the next couple of weeks. I've got that research that we do. The day of the report, of the June stocks report, basically, if corn has gone up, it went up 14. If it went down, it went down 16. So it wasn't too far off of that. And this is from 2000 on. So in 2 weeks, if it turns positive, it's been up 33 cents on average or down 19. And on beans today, on the day of the report, up 28 or down 18. And in 2 weeks, it's either up 57 or down 41. So you can see there's a lot of volatility as we go forward in this marketplace. So I don't think the bulls have totally given up. I just think that they're maybe a little underfed right now.
Makes me want to hold my hand up on beans just for fun. But I will lay off of that one for the moment. Okay. Hey, Matt Bennett, I want to come back to corn, because I don't know that there's been a lot of new crop corn marketed, along with the old crop that's still left around. How do producers deal with this? Usually they're trying to make some cash sales prior to the time we get to harvest. Will there be an opportunity, or very much of one?
Well, I think that one day shouldn't get us too awfully frustrated. I know there was a lot that happened here with this report, but at the same time, you know, it's no secret that this crop is in trouble. And so if I'm a producer who's completely unsure about what my yield prospects look like, I don't see any reason whatsoever to make sales based upon some sort of a fear factor. At this mm-hmm. stage of the game, I think I'm going to stay, you know, a little more flexible. This is a long marketing year window. Let's not forget that a lot of this 2018 corn that's still in the bin is worth well over a dollar more than what it was not so long ago. And so, you know, this is a long marketing year. I'm not going to get too beat up over it. I'm going to stay upbeat, give this market a little bit of a chance to still develop. And, you know, hopefully producers at least manage some risk whenever we saw price levels we haven't seen in several years. I know it's hard to make cash sales given the kind of weather that we had, but in my opinion, there's no excuse you know, to at least to not at least manage some of the price risk, maybe with some floor strategies, and we still are looking at better prices than what we've seen overall, you know, in the last few years.
Hey, Greg Ginder, you're in Chicago now with a whole bunch of other folks from FC Stone. How did and I'll just use you as a proxy for the floor from the board, because we don't have one anymore. What was the reaction like where you were?
Well, it was kind of like watching the basketball game run down dunk on the other side. You know, it was interesting. I mean, there were a lot of cheers whenever we thought we were going to be higher in that first 10, 15 seconds. And then we fell off, and then we came back, and then we fell off. So it was like it was like watching a ping pong match. It really was. I would say, all in all, at the end of the day, I guess there was a little disbelief more so than exuberation. I really don't know how many people were expecting a short position. I didn't get a whole lot of opportunity to talk to any of our guys that were on the floor to kind of see what kind of volume was coming through there, but it was definitely exciting from that standpoint. I guess a little volatility is always exciting.
All right, so let's get a couple of things in line here. So the next time around, we'll get a July report. What do you think USDA's World Ag Outlook Board will do with these numbers? I think I'll start with you, Jackie.
Well, I think that the numbers that they put out today for acreage are, you know, will stay the same. And the only hints that we might get, if they think that when they're surveying, it's going to change things, is that if they change the yield or they change the harvested acre number, you know, and that would give us maybe a little indication as to what. Otherwise, it's not. I don't think we're going to see a lot of change. You know, from an export standpoint, you know, we've been fortunate. A lot of the people that buy our grain, basically, their currencies have moved with our currencies. So we've been able to maintain a lot of good things going on here. So I just don't expect to see a lot of changes. Certainly not on the acreage numbers. But, you know, like I said, they could change yield or they could change harvested acres, more likely yield, if they really feel that it's going to, you know, if it's going to go backwards again.
Based on the grain stocks figures, Chuck, will they change the demand side very much?
I think so. I think that number, you know, remember we're at 1.6 carry out from the last report. So a little better demand than we might have thought. I think that's encouraging. And if they drop the yield a little bit, we could still end up, even if they want to use these acres, we could still end up with a smaller than a 1.6 that they reported in June. So I think that is a positive going forward. I don't see that number getting bigger.
Greg Ginder, what are your expectations for that report?
It's open to interpretation. My personal opinion is I think, you know, they will probably increase the acreage. They could leave the yield as it is. I guess I'm in that camp. I don't believe they'll report it as 3 million reduction, maybe 2. Maybe they split the difference. I believe they'll probably leave the yield as it is. It's kind of a Robin Peter to pay Paul situation where you got carry in reduced, but you got a higher acreage. I mean, it's highly likely that we're looking at a 1.6, 1.7 new crop carry out when it's all said and done within July.
And how about from you, Matt Bennett? Changes for the July report?
Well, I think if there's any big change, I mean, obviously this acreage is probably going to stay similar to what they did today, unless we have some sort of an indication otherwise. I could see this bean acreage, being a little bit bigger eventually. I just don't know if it'll be in July. As far as yield's concerned, you know, if they stick at 166, certainly they have precedent to not make any more changes, but by all means, you know, we didn't expect them to do what they did in June. So maybe they feel like that's enough for the time being until they actually get some data. But bottom line for me is if there's a change made, it's probably going to be with corn yield and maybe a little bit with bean yield as well.
Let's get a final word from each of you now. I think Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson. I'll start with you, Jackie.
Well, I think, you know, you have to take perhaps today as a grain of salt. I saw it as a buying opportunity, and I really don't think that we've really seen the report being traded just yet. I'm looking for Monday to really give us direction as to where we're going to go from here. So keep up your hopes.
Chuck Shelby from Risk Management Commodities.
Well, I think you ought to look at this market as a marathon, not a sprint, and today was a sprint, but in it for the long haul, and I think there's going to be a lot more opportunity and a lot more volatility as we move forward into this growing season.
Greg Ginder from FC Stone.
Yeah, one of the things that I found interesting today was that the July traded 4 cents lower synthetically today, so that definitely showed you what type of volume and momentum they can put to it. The one thing that I would advise, if anybody's looking to buy, there is a 420 gap on December. If we trade 418, 420, that's pretty good ownership right there. I think given everything that we know or that we think we know, I think that's probably a pretty good spot to take a look at maybe buying this thing.
And Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net.
Yeah, I would pretty much agree with what Chuck said. I think that this market's going to take a while to unfold for us to get a good handle on acreage and yield. And I do think that this corn crop is and bean crop, from an agronomic standpoint, is in trouble. And so I don't want to get too nervous about it at this stage of the game. I want to stay flexible. But if we do get more rally opportunities to some of the levels that we've seen already, if a producer is frustrated today, they didn't sell previously whenever we were up at 470 D's corn, by all means, they need to keep that in the back of their head and manage some risk if we do get those opportunities again. And I think we will.
All right, all up, all done. I wanted to tweet out, but didn't today. Stay calm, carry on.
Yeah.
Stay calm,
yeah,
carry on.
Yeah.
I think this is a temporary deal. Actually, I'm not so sure that the acreage might be way closer than expected. I don't know. It's an odd. The Eastern Corn Belt's really hard to get a handle on. Mostly because I haven't driven through it, I guess.
Todd, I just really disagree with him. I mean, I was part of that survey. I know how she handled it. And from the idea that I just don't see it, from Indiana has got record prevent plant. That's just my opinion, being a farmer and driving around and talking to farmers.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, in Indiana, in this report, they raised Indiana's planted corn acres by 150,000, and they only reduced Ohio by 200. I mean, I think Ohio is still, what, 60% complete? I mean, how long
are they going to
last if they get everything?
I totally agree with you guys.
Yeah, how did
that.
They do that?
Joe.
Huh.
Well, Todd, when I told that woman that I wasn't going to, this is what I intended, She finally came down to the point, okay, so you're going to refuse to answer this survey. She was going to take me out, and I wasn't going to be part of it. That's when I said, okay, this is what thought I was going to do. But she was going to, if I didn't answer, she was not going to take my information.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it went.
I think that one of the things that we have to look at is, you know, we're only focusing on corn. Did you see they took 500,000 acres of beans out of Illinois? Okay,
yeah.
And left Illinois' corn acres at the same. So that would go to maybe speaking to the fact that there were corn acres that were going to be bean acres and now became corn acres. And, you know, you look at Indiana, there's 650 million acres out of Indiana. There's 900 million acres that were taken out of Iowa, just out of the bean crop. And so I think that you can probably argue both sides. It just makes me very nervous. Chuck, you mentioned 1993. You know, 93 we rallied from October to December, and I think this year is probably very much going to be like that.
But the only difference was the WASDE report jumped out ahead. They did jump out ahead in the June report. They didn't do that in 93. It took them all summer to get there. But
right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So your point being,
I think we've got a lot of adjusting left to do.
Your point being, Jackie,
especially on yield.
Your point being, Jackie, that if the farmer made a decision to plant, they went ahead and planted corn, thinking that their RP policy was going to pay.
Right. That's exactly right, and that's what we heard from people too. And you know, the other thing we have to take into account is, you know, I've got guys out in Nebraska and places where we plant now, not Kansas, of course, but Nebraska, where they plant their dryland corn is phenomenal. You know, and we can never discount that. And you can't discount the East Coast either because, you know, in the last number of years when we saw the records, some of that was because records that came out of the East and the South. Now, the South I don't think is going to be that way this year. And I don't disagree. I think we might go down. But I don't think acreage is maybe as wrong as we think it is. I think it's just been switched. And so, I mean, that's what farmers have been telling us.
I just think it's incomplete. I mean, it just doesn't feel like everything's here.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that, Greg. I think that, but that's probably pretty normal for this time of year.
Right. So Matt, you and I have both driven around a lot, but I was amazed by the number of corn acres that are somewhere between last week they were just spiked to 2 inches. This week they're 6 inches, right? They planted corn. And I was amazed that they hadn't planted soybeans. I mean, that last week I drove around all the way up to Rockford, and heck, there just weren't any beans. I mean, period.
Yeah.
Right.
They probably were in the ground, but they hadn't come up yet. And I'm assuming you saw the same thing.
Well, there's no question. I mean, there's no question. You know, the market was telling us all to plant corn, get it in the ground. And if you can get it in the ground before your insurance date, and you end up with a high harvest price, you're looking at a pretty darn good guarantee. So people planted into extreme inclement conditions. So, to your point, this corn crop has got a long ways to go, first of all. Second of all, I don't know how many producers I've talked to that have said, I am not proud of what I've done, and I don't even want to drive by half my fields. And at this stage of the game, I had a guy in southern Michigan that farms 5,000 acres. He took 1,000 prevent plant, and he said he should have taken 5,000. He said he didn't think he'd have 1 acre of corn that would go over 100 bushel. It's that bad. And, I mean, that whole corridor in southern Michigan, northern Indiana, northern Ohio, I hear that over and over and over. And I don't know. I don't think this is all accounted for by any stretch of imagination. When you hurt a corn plant at the start, and I've told you this several times this year, Todd, you cannot resuscitate it. You can't make a corn plant that the yield potential has been damaged on better. Now, whenever you've got extreme dry conditions and you turn off wet, heck yeah, you can make things better. But whenever it's been extremely wet, and you've got compaction, and you've lost nitrogen, and you have no roots, that is not a recipe to grow a corn crop that's anywhere even close to a discussion that would be even within trend line yield.
Well, another thing, Matt, the guys that planted that crop like they did are not going to take care of it. They're not going to spray fungicide. They're not going to put an extra
nitrogen.
And they're not going to do anything to it but get their insurance.
They're farming for insurance.
Yeah,
farming
right.
for insurance.
So what do you? So I'm 70 bushel off on the Illinois yield. What are you off, Matt?
You're saying 70 bushel off last year?
Yeah.
On corn?
Yes.
What I said last night in Knox County, I'll just tell you exactly what I said. All right, I-70 to I-80 has been 240, 250 bushel yield country for the last 3 years on a significant amount of acreage. And I said, how many of you think we'll be within 50 of that? And nobody raised their hand.
Yeah.
Right? I said, right now I'm thinking 75 under that on average.
Yeah.
Would you guys agree with that? And I had several old timers say, you're still too high. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I can definitely go with Illinois at least 70 under. Whenever I talk to my clients in northern Illinois who farm for insurance this year, quite frankly, I mean, they're not even making any qualms about it. That's what they did because that's what they had to do. I'm here to tell you, most of those guys are telling me that they'll be lucky to get half what they've been getting.
So I've seen the numbers.
Lucky.
I know Schnitke did a webinar on Wednesday morning. And I think these numbers were in there. I didn't see them, so they should be up on the website, probably Illinois Corn's website, not FarmDoc, on what projected income was. Clearly, with those numbers, and it surprised me because I thought prevent plant would actually pay more, but it didn't. Not at the prices he was projecting, and they weren't terribly high. I think 450 and five. And it prevent plant did not pay more. So if you planted, and the harvest with the harvest price option, and then given that the income was still bad. I mean, yeah, it was still rotten.
Well,
but
can I ask a question? What about people with grip who go with the county average?
Yep, okay. They had no choice, Jackie. They had to plant.
They have no choice but to plant. And on top of that, they might not even get a payment.
I agree.
Goes
You're
way
correct.
Up on corn.
You're correct.
You know, so you know, a lot of it is just, you know, people say planting for insurance, planting for insurance. That's not necessarily true. And a lot of time it's your biggest guys that use grip, you know. So it's a wild and crazy situation. But, you know, you guys can throw anything at me you want, but I hate to tell you, but Illinois, Indiana, Ohio are not the only states in the United States that grow grain. And
South Dakota is not in good shape either, and they're a pretty big state.
No, yeah, they were reduced
by 500,000.
Yeah, they were, and our guys in Dakota that we talked to are saying that that's probably pretty right because they switched from beans to corn, is what they did.
They must have switched states too because North Dakota was up 500,000.
I saw North Dakota.
Yeah. That's North Dakota was up 500,000, but that's easy to believe. I don't have a problem believing that one.
Not at all.
And they weren't going to plant beans anyway.
No, well, and they didn't plant the wheat. So their intention was to plant wheat, and then they couldn't plant wheat.
Right.
And so they went to corn, and if they couldn't get to corn, then they did finally come back to soybeans.
Right.
But
guys, I got to go.
Amazingly enough, they were able to do all three of those. Okay, so here's a question, Matt.
Yeah.
And it's mostly for you, but the rest of you, because I left the recorder running. Can it go out with the program or not?
I don't care about it. I mean, you can say whatever you want.
Todd, I know what that USDA or whoever was, what she made me, insisted I do. I will stand by that because I was there. You do whatever you want with me.
All right.
Yeah.
You do whatever you want.
Okay, well, it will go up. Everybody else is okay with it?
Yeah, I am. Yep, definitely.
All righty. Hey, thanks, guys.
You guys have a good weekend.
Yep.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Yep, bye.
Bye-bye.